It is good to see everybody today. We want to welcome you on this Sunday, July 8th, 2018, to the Wayne County Bible Center. A wonderful week of celebrating the great, great country that we live in and the great, great Savior that takes care of all our needs. We're continuing our study based on the Spiro Sadati's book that he wrote on the Beatitudes, and we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And the scripture says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And we've been looking the last few weeks at what it means to see God. And how one day we're going to see Him face to face in glory. And we want to praise Jesus for that. Never forget it. Always know that in this life, we've got another life coming. And it's going to be wonderful and beautiful. And we can't even explain it with our words. But today we want to focus on the heart. We're going to get to the purity of the heart. You know, what is it when you hear purity of the heart? What is it? What does it mean to possess a pure heart? Is it a one-time experience? Is it a continual process? Or is it both? And it is both. But we'll look at that scripturally, good Lord willing, in the weeks ahead. But today we simply want to look at that word heart. It's cardia in the Greek. And I want you to understand something. Anytime you're dealing with someone, you might think you're dealing with that person. And you are. But you're dealing with the condition of their heart. Any interaction you have with anyone, you're dealing with the condition of their heart. And we're going to talk about their heart today. And we're going to talk about our heart today. Good Lord will. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You. We praise You. Lord Jesus, You never fail us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Jesus never fails. Father, we want to thank You so much for being who You are. We lift up Your name. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my daily sin and weekly sin that I confess to You out loud, that I confessed to You a little while ago. And I ask to be cleansed by Your blood. The blood will never lose its power. And it's only by the supernatural action of the blood of Christ that we can have forgiveness. Only by Your divine, miraculous power. And so I ask for that every Sunday. I ask for it every day. And let me not take for granted the miracle-working blood that belongs to You, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask to be filled miraculously with Your Holy Spirit, supernaturally anointed to teach Your word. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for Your supernatural, divine Holy Spirit to be the perfect teacher within the hearts and minds of everyone that's listening to these verses today. And I pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit will be allowed to speak to us the truth that we need to hear. Father, fill me with Your peace, and calmness, and serenity. And fill me, Lord Jesus, with the joy of washing the feet of those who listen in humility and meekness. Father, it is not important that these folks even hear my voice or hear my words or know my name. But it's important, Lord, that they see Your truth, hear Your voice, and know to lift up Your name, Lord Jesus, the living God, the head of the church, our authority, the Messiah of Israel, the creator of the world, the name of Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. It is in Your name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Heart in the Greek is the word cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. And it can mean the physical heart, the physical cardia. But from a spiritual standpoint, it means this. And biblically, it means this. It's your inner self. Your inner thoughts, intentions, affections, desires. Your inner thoughts, your intentions, your affections, your desire, your inner motives, your real motives. And so I just want to sum it up, not as a Greek scholar, because certainly I'm not one, but your heart is the real you. What people see on the outside, that's you. I'm looking at Tony. That's Tony. But the real Tony, biblically, are the thoughts, desires, intentions, condition of his heart. Of his heart. Now, we're not covering this today, but I've got page after page on this in my notes. And I'm going to share with you biblically and scripturally just a few of the conditions of the heart that are actually in the Word of God. You don't have to write them down. I just want you to hear them. This is not what we're teaching today, but we will teach it. Scripturally, you can have a darkened heart. You can have a blinded heart. You can have a deceitful heart. You can have a hardened heart. You can have a worldly heart. You can have an unconcerned spiritually heart. You can have a selfish heart. So when you're dealing with folks, sometimes you're dealing with somebody got a hardened heart, a darkened heart, a selfish heart. There are more than those on the negative side. There are jealous hearts, lustful hearts. Talking about, I can show you actual verses that use these words. Now, on the positive side, you can have a seeking or a searching heart. As soon as Cameron testified about Tate, I knew what I was teaching. And that was my fault. You know, a child when they're 8, 10, 12, 13 years old, you know, that's fertile ground. And you know, you can think back to your childhood or you can see children you taught in Sunday school or in those situations, and they have a searching or a seeking or an open heart, talking about open to the things of the Spirit and the things of God. And praise God, it doesn't have to stop at 8, 10, or 12. And there are folks that get saved at 20 and 30 and 50 and 70 that also have open and searching and seeking hearts concerning salvation in Jesus Christ. And then after we're saved, we still want open, searching, seeking hearts to grow in the Spirit. To know we can have more victory in our lives. So you can have that. On the positive side, biblically, scripturally, you can have an enlightened heart. That's the opposite of a darkened or a hardened heart. And the light of the gospel shines into the heart. We'll look at that. You can have a convicted or a pricked heart. They were pricked or convicted to the heart. You know, I get pricked and convicted to the heart. That's a good condition. You can have what the Bible calls a contrite or a broken heart. Which is a good thing. Brother Leo, you mean a broken heart's a good thing? Yes, spiritually. Because you're breaking over sin or sadness or sorrow. Or compassion. And that's in there too. A compassionate heart. And then you can have a pure heart. We're going to study that day, Brother Leo? No. But we will. But we're going to lay the foundation generally. You can have pure. Blessed are they that are pure in heart. You can have a compassionate heart and a selfless heart. So that's cardia. Layman, sometimes we deal with folks that have an open, searching heart. You can say, hey man, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Sometimes you're dealing with folks that have a hardened heart or a darkened heart. Or an unconcerned heart. They just don't care about the things of the Spirit. It's not that they're against God. They even believe in God's existence. But they're unconcerned. There are those that Jeremiah or Ezekiel, don't quote me on that, it's an Old Testament prophet that said, they dwell carelessly in the aisles. You know, carefree concerning the things of the Spirit. All right, go with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and let's look at cardia. Let's look at the heart and what it means. It's your inner self. The cardia is the real you. So think about your heart. What's in your heart today? What are your thoughts, your intentions, your desires, your motives? How pure is your heart? If you're in here as a child of God, your heart's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in your heart. That's one aspect you can say assuredly. James tells us time and again, purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And he's talking to Christians. What did Jesus tell Peter? You know, at the Last Supper, Peter says, wash me, holy Lord. And he said, no, I don't need to wash you whole. You've already believed, but I do need to wash your feet. Because every day you walk out there and you get the dirt of the world on your feet. So it's a continual process of cleansing that's accomplished through repentance and confession. But you can tell I've got all these sermons already written, but they're not for today. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the Word is Logos. The Word is the written Word here, the Scripture, is the revealed thought of God. So I can say this. I can say the Word of God, God Himself, the Holy Spirit, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. And the Word of God, His Holy Spirit, His Spirit-inspired Word, conviction, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. So what I want you to understand, God is the one. I cannot penetrate your heart, but God can. He has that ability. He has that ability. If you've got a lost loved one, God's got that ability. If there's someone you've given up on, God's got that ability. If there's an area in your life that you've given up on, God's got that ability to pierce into the depth of your soul to get in touch with and convict the real you. And it's very important that we ask for that we seek that, and that we allow God to work on the real us. So I might be up here preaching today, but God, you know what's coming out of my mouth, but God knows what's in my heart. Am I up here to glorify Leo Doyle, or am I up here to impress you? Or am I up here to go out there today and say, 12 people shook my hands and told me I preached a great message? Am I up here to get a raise next month from our salary? You know, what are the thoughts and intents of your heart? And the good Lord knows, my goal up here is to finish this and to say in my heart, I got peace. I did what God led me to do. You know, my only goal when I finish this in a few moments is going to be to say, Jesus, your Holy Spirit did it again. We got through. We got it through the way you want. I pleased you in this. So the thoughts and intents of the heart are huge, because the Lord doesn't deal with the outside performance. The Lord's dealing with your heart. Whether you're taking groceries to a widow woman or how you treat your wife at home, the way you act in this building, God sees the heart. Now, look at what it says, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom one day we're going to have to interact with in judgment. I looked up that Greek. One day we're going to have to interact with Him in judgment. But I want you to know, I want you to say right now, God sees my heart. Would you say that with me? God sees my heart. Amen. God sees my heart. I can't see your heart. Now, I've known most of you folks for over 20 years, and I feel your heart. I see your heart. I feel you're my brother and sister in Christ, and I feel it very strongly. And my discernment tells me without a doubt that you are, many of you, and I love you, like brothers and sisters. But the bottom line is God sees everything in your heart. Okay, my Holy Spirit can discern with Cleo that he's my brother. But God sees everything in Cleo's heart. God sees everything in Leo's heart. So as we interact one with another, go with me to Acts chapter 15. God sees your heart. And that's why it's very important we have a pure heart. Very important we take seriously the purity of our heart. It's the least I can do for Jesus. You know, when I think of the pure heart, I think of Christ on that cross. You know, how pure was his heart? He wasn't dying for himself. How pure were his motives? He wasn't dying to make himself rich. How pure were his intentions? It was us. It was you. And all that he endured. I mean, in one moment of impurity, he could have struck back out with revenge or hostility, being spat upon and the beard yanked out and all those things. What purity of heart led to our Lord to suffer and die for us on that cross. In Acts 15, we're at the Jerusalem Council. And the disciples and apostles are discussing the matter of circumcision being required on the Gentiles. And Peter makes an incredible point here that I absolutely love about the heart. In verse 7, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear a sermon I preach, Cornelius, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows and sees the hearts, bear them witness that they had faith," verse 9, "in their hearts, purifying their hearts by faith." You're going to hear that in a message. "He put no difference between us and them," verse 9, verse 8, "by giving them the Holy Spirit." So God saw faith, saving faith in the hearts of those Gentiles, and he imparted to them the Holy Spirit. And that's the way you and I get saved. God sees the heart. Preacher saw me walk the aisle and take his hand and pray with him and say I wanted to accept Jesus. The congregation saw me get baptized by water. The Sunday school folks saw me singing in the choir. But Jesus sees your heart. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I may never sing in the choir. I may never come forward. I may never teach a Sunday school class. But I know that I had saving faith in my heart. God saw it because he imparted to me the Holy Spirit many, many years ago. Amen. Amen. And Jesus Christ came and lived in my heart. Amen. And changed. So you got to have that experience in your heart. And only you and God know whether you've had it or not. So God sees the heart. And then after you're saved. You know, there's only two things we're going to give an account for. If you're a lost person, you're going to stand there at the great white throne. You're going to be able to tell God why you think you should not go to hell. You know, because you weren't as bad as Charles Manson. You know, and the church is full of hypocrites. And the Lord's going to have to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Then the second bunch are the wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones bunch. That's us. We're going to stand before the Lord and have to tell him what we did with our salvation after we got saved. And when we do that, it's all going to deal with the motives and the intents of our heart in action. I can preach what you may think is a great sermon, but if I preach it in a spirit of pride, no reward in that. You know, I can sing what you think would be a great song, but if I do it in the spirit of pride, no reward in that. So it's all about the thoughts and intents of the heart, and God sees the heart. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. That's why it's important to have a pure heart. You do better doing one thing with a pure heart than 100 things with an impure heart. And they may be religious things, they may be good things. Acts chapter 1, verse 23 says this. Now they got to replace Judas. And so the disciples are praying a prayer unto God concerning the casting of lots, which is almost like rolling the dice, to determine, and it was a Hebrew practice, Thurim and Purim, it has Hebrew roots religiously, that they would believe God would direct the fall of the stones and give them an answer that way. Now, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. There's a whole different dispensation for us, okay? They are not. Even at this point, they are not. So they're depending on the Hebrew religious practice. Now, verse 23, they've got two guys that they're considering to replace Judas. And it says, they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So it's Justus and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knows the hearts of all men, show us, through the casting of these lots, which of these two thou hast chosen to replace Judas. Verse 26, and they gave forth the lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, don't want to get too deep for you, but we're not even sure this was God's will that they did that. Okay? This may have been them getting ahead of God. You say, well, why would you say it, brother? Because we never hear him again. So, we're not sure, you know, we can get ahead of God. And flip coins and ask God for a sign. And but anyway, they spoke a truth. They said this. Thou, Lord, which knows the hearts of all men, we're praying through these lots, you'll show us which one would be the best disciple. So the bottom line is this. You know, that's a great prayer. You know, God that knows the heart, I want you to pick out for me who you think the best man is for my daughter to marry one day. The best woman for my son to marry one. God, you know the heart. You know the heart. Father, you pick out the best teacher for my child this year. You know the heart. It's a viable prayer. It's an important prayer. Lord, you know the heart. So I want you to understand today. God knows the heart of all men. God knows my heart. God knows Terry's heart. And he knows where our hearts are right now. And he knows where our hearts are in certain situations. I spoke to an old friend during the CMAs. She was in Charleston. She had called me. She had called us about a situation. We had called her back. And she was on speakerphone. We were getting ready and couldn't have a closer friend in the world. And we were talking about a situation. And she flat out told him, she goes, Leo, you're the one that preaches forgiveness. You're just going to have to forgive this person. Because she knows my heart in this area. She said, you don't have a choice. You're going to have to forgive. And I said, you're exactly right. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. And I'll tell you, if this person had done all these things to me, I probably could forgive him. But he did them to Patty. And so it's much more difficult. She goes, well, I understand that, but you're the one that tells us God's bigger and all that. And I say, he is. Yeah. And I know it. And I work on it. And I'm still working on it. But the bottom line is, all of us can have strongholds in the heart that are no way purer in the way God can get them pure. And we got to be honest with the Lord about that. We got to be honest with ourselves about that. Because God knows all hearts. Go with me to Romans chapter 2. And let me tell you why it's important to deal with our heart now. Romans chapter 2 verse 13 says this. For not the hearers of the Lord are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be just. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by the innate nature, things that are contained in the law, and we've studied these, and we may have studied on a Wednesday night. There are certain things in everybody that they're born with, even with a fallen conscience. And you say, what are those? And these are things that are covered by the Mosaic Law. And what do you mean, Brother Leo? I'm telling you that if there is a tribe in Africa that has never heard anything about God, they innately know that it is wrong to murder someone. That's what the Bible's telling you here. And that's what's been proven anyway. They know it's innately wrong to murder someone. They know it's innately wrong to steal. They know it's innately wrong to lie. They know it's innately wrong to force themselves on someone in an assault, physical, sexual, anyway. These things are innate in human nature. And that's what Paul's saying. That there are folks that never heard of the law, but they keep it. Because they choose to. Now, it's a law unto themselves, verse 15, which show the work of the law where? It's written in their heart. Here we're dealing with cardia again. That's another aspect of cardia. I'm going to show you two aspects in this verse. The secrets of the heart and the law in your heart. You know right from wrong in many, 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 many areas. And you know that you're wrong. There are certain things in your heart right now you know you're wrong. I confess to you one just now about myself. Now, notice what he says. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their conclusion concerning these things, will either accuse one another or excuse one another. And what that means is, whatever law is in your heart, you hold other people accountable to that law. Because I think it's wrong to murder, I would tell Betty it's wrong. I don't expect her. And so that's how they establish these laws within these tribal situations. But notice what he said. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So the condition of your heart is this. Your heart has a knowledge of right and wrong, even apart from the Word of God and all the wonderful teaching you've received. Growing up in the Bible Belt, in the South, in your home, your parents, your churches. But also your heart contains secrets. Things that only you and God know. And you only got two choices. They can either come out now between you and God or come out later between you and God. But they're going to come out. I'd rather them come out in my prayer closet than at the judgment seat. So deal with the secrets of your heart. And the secrets of your heart, that word cardia, deals with intention, motive. It deals with the why. W-H-Y question mark. Why do I feel this way? Why can I not forgive? Why do I hold bitterness? Why am I jealous? Why am I covetous? You know, why are these things in me? Why am I scared to give my heart to Jesus and commit to Him for the rest of my life? Why? The thoughts and intents of your heart must be dealt with. Dealing just like in high school. You know, we fall into trap. You know, why is peer pressure peer pressure? Why do I feel this way about my family? Why do I feel this? You know, why do certain things hurt me? Because God not only wants to deal with the secrets of your heart, He wants to give you victory over them. He doesn't want to drag you through the mud with them. He wants to give you victory over. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So before we can get to the purity of the heart, we have to look at the reality of the heart. There are folks that in their heart, they want folks to fail. You know, I've dealt with folks like that. They take a pleasure out of seeing people fail. Seeing people's lives torn up. Seeing them involved in things, you know, seeing them fall. We live in a culture that seems to be like that, that wants to tear down folks. They have that in their heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 tells us this: "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels and the motives and the plans and the thoughts of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ is in the heart business. He deals with the heart in this life. He's going to deal with your heart in the next life. He's going to deal with your heart today. He's going to deal with your heart in the judgment day. It's all about your heart. You know the saying, you can fool all the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time. Well, I had a little third phrase. You ain't never gonna fool God. And He loves you. It's not like He's gonna zap you with a lightning bolt. He loves you. He just wants you to break before Him. Let Him heal you. I was involved in a ministry one time where I had a Sunday school teacher and a deacon. And they abused their wife physically. Drank all the time. I didn't know it. I was young. I never believed it. Because, man, they seem pretty saintly in church. I'm a sinner. But, Brother Leo, you shouldn't be saying, "Well, I'm a cynical." Until I get to know somebody, and I mean really get to know them, I'm going to be cynical. But it doesn't take me long. I can feel their heart. You know, and 90% of the people I deal with have just pure, loving, compassionate hearts. I'm just blessed. Now, a lot of y'all have to go out in this world in places I don't have to go. In business and in those things. But my discernment, you know, and you got to have, and I'll show you that in a moment if we've got time. We may not have time. Oh, yeah, we may. But it is all about the condition of the heart. Let's look at your heart before we move forward. Go to Jeremiah 17. And you know, once everything was found out in that situation, this person went through a cathartic experience. That deals with, that's another word that deals with the heart. It frees you up to be real, the real you. Isn't it wonderful to be the real you on the inside and the outside? Easy way to live, man. It's an easy way to live. Patty's even been working on when she misses a fish. She stomps her foot now and says, "Hallelujah, I'm so proud of her." I'm teasing. Patty really didn't cuss when she lost a fish. Not much, anyway. She don't like to lose a fish. And it don't faze me. You know, it's like missing a dove. I mean, you're going to miss them. You ain't going to catch every one of them. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this. This is your heart, man. "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know and understand it?" That's your heart. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the inward reins of a man to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doings. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is only in the Lord. You ever heard somebody say, Brother Leo, I just got to follow my heart? You better be careful. Because your heart can deceive you. Many folks are deceived from their own heart. This is my line now. If you're going to follow your heart, you need a heart firmly entrenched with and saturated with the influence and the authority of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to follow your heart. Your heart's got to be saturated with the influence and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Then you can follow your heart. Your heart's either going to be saturated and influenced by the Spirit, or you're going to be influenced by your own humanity, and that's not good. Even if you say it. You want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You want to have that daily time alone with Jesus. Drink from that fountain. Bring it before God. Read a proverb. Read the Psalms. Feed on it 10, 15, 20 minutes and get that fire lit every day. And before you make a big decision, you know, folks all the time are saying, you know, Brother Leo, I don't know what to do. And they're putting pressure on me. Well, pressure comes from the devil. But the bottom line is this. There's nothing wrong with you telling somebody, you know, I really need to pray about this. Before I tell you yes or no, I got to pray about it. And if they don't understand that, that's your answer. You know, I can't do this. I need to pray about it. I need to pray about it. Go with me to Psalm 51. You're going to deal with a lot of people whose hearts are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But we can sure enough make sure ours is. Psalm 51 verse 10, this is a good thing to pray every morning. This word clean in the Hebrew is the same word as pure in the Greek that we've been studying. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a renewed and cleansed heart in this area, Lord Jesus. It's needful. Because your heart gets like Peter's feet were. It needs to be washed daily. Let me show you one more out of Psalms and we'll close. Psalm 26. When you come to me, you're dealing with my heart. When I come to you, I'm dealing with your heart. If you ask me for something, your motives are in your heart. If I ask you for something, my motives are in my heart. My thoughts, my intents. In Psalm 26, verse 1, it says, judge me, O Lord. For I've walked in mine integrity. That word integrity is a huge bridge word in this study. We're not going to look at it today. Integrity is when your outward conduct matches your inward spirit. You're not a fake. What I see in here on Sunday mornings, what your wife and husband see on Monday morning at your house. That's integrity. What you see of me on Sunday morning better be what Patty sees of me on Monday morning. That's integrity. I have trusted in you, Lord, therefore I shall not slide. And then he says this, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my inner thoughts and motives and try my heart. Lord, examine my heart. And I wouldn't pray it generally. I'd pray it specifically. Lord Jesus, examine my heart. You got a major situation going on in your life. Where's your heart in this? You know, where's your heart? Is there pride? You trying to get the best of somebody? Somebody trying to get the best of you? Are you trying to promote yourself? Is there selfishness in your heart? Is there vindictiveness in your heart? Is there a lack of forgiveness in your heart? Lord, examine my heart in this area. Is there self-pity in your heart? Oh man, we could go on the condition of our heart. But my friend, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times we think we're dealing with our hands. You need to be dealing with your heart. A lot of times we're hearing the words that somebody's saying to us. Those words are proceeding out of their heart. I want you to understand something. There are a lot of times you're going to deal with people that are not Holy Spirit influenced in their heart. There's not a whole lot to say to them. But there's a whole lot you can pray for. You know, I spoke with someone in the last couple of weeks that were trying to reason with an individual, and I just told them right out, I said, you cannot reason with this person. They're in no state that they can be reasoned with. And then there are folks that will say, Brother Leo, if they'd just come talk to you, if they'd listen to you. And you know, and the bottom line is this when it comes to Brother Leo. What you get out of me because your heart is in tune with what is coming out of the Word of God. To throw a guy like me with somebody whose heart is not in tune, who is unconcerned, who doesn't care, and whose heart is darkened or hardened or evil or unconcerned, it's just not going to work. You know, but we fall into the trap thinking everybody's heart's like our heart. I hope you take one thing away from this today. Everybody's heart is not like our heart. And your heart is not where it needs to be. So we need to bring our heart before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord Jesus, as we come today, we thank you, Father, that you love us, that you hold our hearts in your hands, that you're patient and kind and merciful. But Father, there are areas in my heart where there is darkness, a lack of forgiveness. Times fear enters in. Father, I pray that I and everyone listening will bring our hearts before you in a new way for a wonderful cleansing. For a purity, so that you can take out whatever is not of you and replace it with what is of you. In the quietness of this moment, I'm going to ask Brother Cameron if he closes out with a word of prayer.